this is what we're going to do. I agree with board member Teresa Allen that we need to hear from the executive director. She has a report. You all received the report. I don't know whether or not we're ever going to be able to approve this agenda this evening, but what I'd like to be able to do at this point is to hear from the executive director. So under the circumstances, given all of this disruption, I would like to ask the board that we approve at this point hearing from the executive director, just getting her report, and then we can move on and decide where we go from there, okay? That's what I would like to do at this point. If there are any objections, this is what I'm ruling. If there are any objections, then you all can state that now, but that's what I would like to do.
How many minutes?
We have 15 minutes for the IED report.
Thank you. The one that was...
That's what I'm ruling at this point. And I did not hear any objections.
Can you hear my question?
The IED.
I have a point of information.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yes, your point of information, please.
The report she's going to be discussing is the one she sent at 8:17?
Yes, I believe. She might be adding to it. I'm not sure. And you can ask questions of her.
Right. That's why you got it at 8:17.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So, Summer Reese, are you still there?
I am. Am I understanding that we're skipping over the chair's ruling and making a determination on the agenda?
We're going to go to your report. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm ruling at this point. Please give your report so we can accomplish something here. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. We don't have an approved agenda, but I'm...
No, but go ahead.
Okay. So I sent you all a three-page report with six or seven attachments. For public session, Pacifica has completed its fourth quarter CPB compliance requirements, and we have submitted the evidence of that. We have been showing consistent and substantial improvement quarter over quarter in our compliance, and hope to be able to show perfect compliance as we move forward. Our year-end letter went out. So far, we've gotten $20,000 back on it with about two dozen donations per day coming in, mostly small donations, but they've been coming in steadily all month. One of the directors had asked about our directors and officers insurance. It was renewed back in the fall. It's been continuous coverage. We haven't had any lapses in insurance. And I sent you all a copy of that. And I'll do the same for the incoming board when the new members are seated. I'm going to skip over the things that I don't think are appropriate for public session, but we are addressing various issues to do with fulfillment, to see to it that we have an internal auditing system in place so that we don't have vendor or issues with the public, and that the national office is able to verify that local stations have indeed ordered their premiums within a reasonable length of time following a fund drive's conclusion. We are working with PRA. I may need to dig up some long ago past information in terms of what the internal price point is for reproduction services within the organization for materials that are produced at the local stations, because we still have some local stations that reproduce some of their own materials, and we are hoping to normalize that process. But part of the issue is what PRA charges internally versus externally, so we're going to be addressing that. All of the California units, the National Office, the Archives, KPFK, and KPFA are eligible to participate in the California Teleconnect Fund, which reduces a nonprofit organization's phone bills by up to 50%. I'd like to give thanks to Zuberry Fields at KPFK for submitting the necessary paperwork for all four units, and the other three units are also getting in under the deadline to go ahead and participate in that program. So we should see some savings on our phone bills that are substantial over the next year. Back in, June of last year at the NSCB, our affiliates director, Ursula Rudenberg, made a presentation to the gathered affiliates at that meeting along with Janice Lane Ewart. Regarding a group underwriting proposal modeled on one that's currently employed by some community radio stations in Minnesota successfully, And I've gone ahead and green-lighted Ursula to move forward on that program. It essentially would provide an avenue by which affiliate stations who choose to carry underwriting may participate as a group, and hopefully more advantageous contracts can be negotiated, and they share the fees from that underwriting. It would not change anything at this time in terms of underwriting on the five sister stations of Pacifica, but does provide a way to get funding into community radio stations and provide some off-air revenue for Pacifica as well. And we will keep you updated as that program develops over the next 6 months as to how that is going. Again, skipping over any personnel issues, which I'm happy to discuss in closed session. PRA also had an end-of-year mail and has implemented a car donation program. This would be the first mail drive that the Archives has done in the last 8 years, and they've never had a car donation program before, so we are beginning to make some inroads on at least implementing some development efforts for that unit in particular. For KPFK, the license renewal has been granted by the FCC. I've sent you information regarding all of that. Again, skipping over personnel issues. And I go to my next section, and much of that deals with litigation and personnel regarding KPFA. So I'm happy to cover those in closed session in terms of discussions regarding personnel and or litigation. I'm sorry, who's that?
Yeah, Summer Benito. Before you go, I don't know if you want us to wait till you finish.
Why don't you just wait?
Report.
Yeah, I'll just cruise through to the end, and then we'll take it back. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Okay. with KPFT, we've entered into a tolling agreement with the FCC, clearing the way for our license renewal. However, we still have to address our low power issues at KPFT. WPFW was off the air for a week. Verizon had cut into a trunk line, interrupting our broadcasting capabilities, and we are operating at extremely low power at that station, and our national technical staff is working with local technical staff in addressing the situation and getting to the bottom of the problems that we are having with our transmission at WPFW. Again, personnel and legal matters I will address in closed session. And WBAI is on track for its FCC license renewal with submission of documents set for beginning of this coming month, February, and everything's coming together well with national and local staff working together to provide all the documentation required for our license renewal in that situation. And the rest of stuff I'll cover also in closed session. I can take any questions that are related to open session matters.
Yeah, so Benito.
Yes, Benito.
Go ahead, Benito.
Yeah, Summer, I didn't understand what you said about underwriting. Could you go over that again?
Sure.
And maybe greater detail or something?
Certainly. What was presented to us is something based on an organization named Ampers in Minnesota. That Janice has worked with, and essentially it pools the various stations together and increases the likelihood of perhaps getting decent underwriting contracts because prospective underwriters can see that, you know, they have a station in this market, this one, and this one, and there's there'll be a more in-depth presentation in the board report for the in-person meeting I'm having Ursula prepare. You know, extensive report on what's going on with her department. Pacifica, through the affiliates program, would be implementing this as a service to our affiliate clients, essentially, and administering it. And it would not change our current status of not taking underwriting on any of the five Pacifica stations, and no affiliate would be compelled to take underwriting. It's for those stations that wish to participate in that, because many communities are having a tremendous amount of difficulty raising sufficient listener support to sustain their operations, and many community stations already take underwriting, so this is a way to maximize that for them. And we've had interest expressed by approximately 20 of our affiliate clients in participating in a pilot program to see how this works. And since we all know that we very much need to support additional revenue streams besides what we generate on air from the listeners, we are going to explore and see how this works, and probably have a good idea of that in the next few months. But it won't change any of the status of the Pacifica stations. It's only if affiliate stations want to participate, they can choose to participate. So it's a service being offered, which will hopefully be beneficial to all concerned.
If I can follow up, so if I understand correctly, some of you are saying this is only, or that the only people who would be eligible would be the affiliates, not the five stations.
Well, although I am not aware that we have a specific written policy prohibiting underwriting on the five Pacifica stations, I would say that we at least have a cultural assumption that we do not take any underwriting, and I think it would perhaps require some action on the part of the board to authorize that. It's my understanding that KPFT has been somewhat quietly accepting underwriting for 2 or 3 years now, but none of the other stations do. So I am not moving forward in changing that at this time without any direction from the board. This would, at the moment, only be applicable to the affiliate stations unless there is direction indicating that the organization wishes to explore underwriting for the five sister stations.
Well, that's very interesting because I love this. Well, can I just follow up? I'm trying to understand the issue.
Thank you. No, go ahead. Thank you.
Go ahead, Benito.
Okay, thank you. So, number one, this is very enlightening because I guess I've always been told from day one that Pacifica did not permit, and I'm not arguing for or against anything, by the way, but I'm just saying that I've always been told that the five stations were prohibited by the bylaws, or maybe it was the Articles of Incorporation, I'm not sure, you know, from doing underwriting. So that's, if you could clarify that. And then number two, with respect to these affiliates, is are they talking about a particular type of underwriting with, let's say, certain types of organizations and or businesses, or is it just anybody? Any business can underwrite?
So to address your first question, it is still my understanding that there is no specific prohibition against it, and someone can correct me if I'm...
This is Teresa. I would be happy to comment.
Thank you. And my understanding with KPFT is they obtained the approval of their local board to explore underwriting in a limited fashion. So I believe if there had been a hard and fast prohibition, they would not have been able to do that. And in terms of the parameters of the types of underwriters, Ursula and I are still developing that, but we've had an extensive discussion about what would be considered to be ethical underwriting and types of organizations that probably most community radio stations would not want to take underwriting from, and we're going to work on developing that as she brings this program together. And again, stations would not, for those who participate, they would not be required. If there was something they didn't want to carry, they could, of course, say that. But I think we're all aware that there are certain types of entities that we probably would want to have nothing to do with, and we would not want to take their underwriting even for our affiliates. So.
May I say something?
Yes,
I'm going to take a stack as well if people have questions. So, Teresa, go ahead, please.
I would like to say that Ursula has worked very hard on this. In regard to KPFT, we are pursuing ethical underwriting. Very carefully, we would select those people that we would consider local and certainly consider the ethics of it. When it comes to the affiliates' underwriting, let me read you this one sentence. The mission is to provide a forward-thinking community radio listeners a connection with nonprofit organizations of conscience and visionary business people who are pioneering economic democracy and transparency, like supporting artisans and small farmers, fair trade businesses, democratic workplaces, initiatives to eradicate poverty, etc., and give our listeners a means to invest their money in supporting these, like nonprofit service and health awareness organizations, cooperatives and unions, educational programmings and organizations, PSAs concerning health, companies with sustainable focus, socially conscious companies, and fair trade companies, for example. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and in what Ursula presented to me, the types of organizations were somewhat laid out, and basically I told her we just needed to articulate that further as to who might not be acceptable. So, thank you, Teresa.
Do I have other people on the stack?
I think
any other questions or comments? Lydia. Yes. Okay, Lydia, thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I think that the issue here, however, is that the board has not voted on the issue of underwriting. It has always been something that most of us use to raise money from everyone we know, that we tout that we don't take underwriting. How wonderful an organization is should not be the criteria. All those organizations that Teresa mentioned and movements are those that we should have on our air, but free of charge. And once you start favoring one or over another because some give you money, that is what is unethical, for one thing. But the main thing is the board needs to vote on underwriting first and then decide. From my opinion, that this is always put forward by people who don't understand other options, viable options of raising money, which is the one-on-one of raising money, various events. More importantly, is to expand our listener base, because that's where we are becoming bankrupt. We can raise all the money we want, have these organizations on air, and have five listeners. So we have to have a board discussion, and I think that this is appropriate for the in-person meeting.
Thank you, Lydia. I agree with the board discussion if some policy is going to be changed regarding the five sister stations, but this has nothing to do with underwriting on any of the Pacifica stations. This is merely a client service that we're offering to affiliates who are clients of ours. This is a business relationship, and many of them have expressed an interest in having such a service. And the affiliates director has made a good and compelling argument to me that this will potentially provide an income stream for our clients while also providing income to the affiliates program and to the network without in any way touching our current stance of being listener-supported and taking no underwriting.
Okay,
obviously, if the board wishes to take up
that. Teresa was saying, because she's saying they're doing that at KPFT.
I understand they've done some things locally, but I mean in terms of any national policy, I would agree completely that I believe it is a board decision to direct me, frankly, if the organization wishes to consider underwriting for the five sister stations. But this current program does not in any way touch that or affect it. It's merely a client service that we are offering to our affiliates, utilizing the sort of the group power that we have of having nearly 200 affiliates.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Chair Brenda for the stack, I have a question in regards to
Margie.
Yes, Brenda, go ahead. And
so
Margie, Brenda, and then Margie.
My question is in regards to, so Ursula is an employee of the Pacifica Foundation, and will affiliates, as a result of getting underwriting, will Pacifica receive a portion of that in return for giving them programming? Is that the relationship, or is it just for the simple fact that Ursula is looking for underwriting for these affiliate stations and is providing it to them as a service as for getting programming from Pacifica?
I'm sorry, I'm not clear on what your connection is to programming, Brenda. Can you clarify what you mean by that?
So my question is in regards to Ursula's role. She's a Pacifica employee, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And she is actively looking for underwriting for affiliates? Is that what I'm understanding?
The program is envisioned in adding an additional component service, and yes, Pacifica would receive a percentage to cover the administrative costs and something over that of adding an additional service to the affiliates program.
So this would be an additional service to look for underwriting for affiliate stations?
That's correct, and for that, Pacifica would enjoy additional revenue.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Margie?
Okay. My question has to do, I want this item on the agenda for the in-person meeting. I thought the coordinating committee was going to be considering the agenda. I don't know exactly how we get to have input into the agenda. The coordinating committee was canceled. But I want this item on the agenda, and I will tell you why. It's because I have experienced in my life in many different situations something that I think is commonly called mission creep. And when you know, the fact that we are considering underwriting as part of our relationship with our affiliate stations absolutely bears on Pacifica and the five main stations. It's not, we can't act as if this is like somewhere out there. So I am making a motion, I guess, that the question of underwriting and what is being offered to the affiliates be a matter of discussion at the in-person meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
I certainly have no objection. I mean, I think, quite frankly, the economic condition of both the network and of public and community radio generally should probably be considered somewhat at the in-person meeting in terms of sustainability and operating, et cetera. So, we will have a report from Ursula. She gave me a fantastic PowerPoint that at least breaks down many of the details, and I've asked her to include that in her report as well. So, we will certainly have more to discuss at the in-person meeting if there's some space made for it.
All right, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments?
Yeah, but Heather...
Wait a minute. Heather, you have to deal with my motion, which was seconded by... I mean,
Margie.
I'm sorry. Just because Summer doesn't have any objection to it doesn't mean that the rest of us don't get to vote on it, or you need to ask whether there are any objections.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate your comment. So let's repeat the motion.
So my motion is that the issue of underwriting and the proposal that is being made to the affiliates be part of a discussion that we have at the PMB meeting in February.
And it's seconded by Richard, right? Are there any objections to this motion?
Friendly amendment.
And your friendly amendment?
Is that we also consider the question of the current use by... KPFT.
Well, I think that, I have no problem with discussing the whole issue of underwriting, where it's used and where it isn't used. That's fine. That fits in with the intent of my motion.
Okay.
Are there any objections to both the motion and the amendment? All right, no objections. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any other questions of Summer? All right, no other questions. Thank you very much, Summer, for your report.
Is that the end of her report, Chair?
Did you have any other comments, Summer? Is that you finished your report? Is that correct?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Chair.
Everything else would be appropriate for closed session for discussion.
Chair.
Thank you.
Who is that, please?
Luzette.
Yes.
Yes. Through you, Chair, I want to ask Summer if she's been receiving any messages from PFW.
Yes, Lizette, I have received the messages, and I am working on getting back to Ola and everyone else on the various requests that they have made.
It's Ola and the Treasurer, I believe.
Yes, Marcus, yes, and I've been interfacing on some of the issues with the manager that were raised. But, yes, I will be getting back to everyone this week on their concerns.
Can you give a deadline to that, please?
I'm probably going to be working on it tomorrow, Lizette. I just wasn't able to get it done yesterday and today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a motion. Yes, your motion, please.
Okay, this is
Who is that speaking? Who is that speaking?
This is Serene.
I'm sorry?
Serene Roberts.
Serene, yes, you have a motion.
My motion is that the... any executive director submitting reports to the board must do so at least 24 hours in advance. Getting a report, with all due respect, 13 minutes before the meeting is due to start is not helpful to me at all. It means I have no time to read it, so obviously I can't have any sessions, even if there will be questions once I read it. So that's my motion.
Is there a
Teresa
second?
Allen for the stack.
Is there a second? All right, Teresa, go ahead.
I think it
there's
died
no,
for lack of...
no one is seconding this motion, so go ahead.
Give me a second.
Teresa.
Second.
Who is that?
Tony.
Tony, thank you, Tony. All right, the motion has been seconded, so I'll take the stack here.
Teresa for
Teresa.
The stack.
Teresa, go ahead.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. The motion.
We'll repeat it, Benito. It has to do with, Shereen, why don't you repeat your motion?
that an executive director must submit a written report at least 24 hours ahead of the board meeting.
Okay, thank you. And it was seconded by Tony. Teresa?
I think we already passed a motion asking that the executive director generate a report once a month. So you might say that this report is 2 weeks ahead of a meeting. I think it would be nice if the report came out around the same time of every month, but I think the way the original motion was passed, the instructions we gave her were once a month, and she's complied with that at this point. Also, I am very concerned that we start adding motions in the middle of the report. I can appreciate the one that Director Wilkinson came up with, but if we start adding that, then we might not get to the actual agenda, which has lots of motions on it that we need to address.
Stack, please. Stack.
Tony for the stack.
Margie for the stack.
Tony for the stack.
So I have Lisa, Tony, Margie. All right. Lizette?
I just pray that there are members out there listening to this charade of a meeting, and they would raise hell at our next meeting. And I want to make a point. I don't think we should be defending the indefensible. I support Summer wholeheartedly, but I think to send a set of minutes, 15 or so minutes before the meeting, and then expect full, everybody to contribute effectively is not... How shall I put it now? It's not fair to sit at the least. And to raise anything to support that is causing more problems on our board than anything else. The other point I want to make is that some of us who want these minutes beforehand, the
point of information
we've had tonight, I think it's a waste of time for anybody to submit minutes and then come here and spend an hour and a half to hear about points of information, points of order, the chair trying to get to the minutes on the points of order, and all that kind of thing. Is this graceful? And so I am not sure that I would even want to support this motion. While I agree that it is in order, our conduct does not warrant any decent treatment. Thank you.
Thank
point
you.
Point of information that the director that just spoke was talking about minutes, but I think she meant reports. Is that correct?
Yes,
whatever it is.
So. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I have Tony and then Margie. Tony?
Yes, I've said this a number of times on this. We've got to get these reports in. I am sick. This is a matter of course. This is the way they're conducting business of getting these documents in at the 11th hour, and it's been happening for the last year. So we need these reports in advance, and I'm sorry, Teresa, I can't accept that explanation that she is submitting it 2 weeks in advance. You don't give the report on the day that you're going to give the report, hours before. I mean, she's giving the report now, not 2 weeks from now. We should get that written report. He cannot make a fair and honest decision on what we're doing without reports in advance. I'm sorry, it's no longer mistaken. This is a way of managing stuff, and it cannot continue. We have to get these motions in advance in order to review them. If we don't do anything, we're going to constantly be getting these documents at the 11th hour, hours before the meeting. So
Thank you for the stack. Sorry.
And summer to the stack.
We need these reports on time. And I don't consider a report to be just nothing but a series of copies of bills and letters. That's not what a report is. So we need to get serious about what these reports are.
Summer to the stack.
Thank you, Tony. I have Margie, Teresa,
Brenda was
I have
on
Margie,
the stock.
Tracy. I'm sorry, Tracy and Summer. Margie
was on the stock chair.
I'm sorry, Brenda. I didn't. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Tony,
and then
Teresa. Margie,
and then
go
Teresa.
Ahead. Margie, go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to say that I, you know, I completely agree with this motion, and the report says it's a January report. We had a report in February. This is, in fact, as I recall, the December report came to us a day before the meeting or early in the day of the meeting. I don't remember. But I remember that I had time to read it before the meeting. This is simply not acceptable, and I totally support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy?
I think maybe what people are forgetting is that this is, in fact, the last meeting of the 2013 board. We will not be making any decisions based on this report. The new board will. And my guess is that the report will essentially be reproduced and recreated for the new board updated within less than 2 weeks. Accordingly, this level of outrage seems a little manufactured. For myself, I've been on the board 4 years, and I rarely, if ever, got reports from any of the EDs and IEDs that I dealt with, certainly not every month. So I think maybe people – what's the word? I think maybe people need to keep their expectations in line, and people, from what I gather, there have been irregular reports from the executive director, if there have been any at all, for most of the past 10 years. So, guys, I think we should be pretty thrilled that we're getting a monthly report, and if we want to rearrange the timing, we can do it. But the outrage is a bit particular, let's put it that way, because
thank
this
you.
Is more than we have gotten from our previous executives for a very long time.
Benito,
thank you, Tracy. I have Brenda.
You had Summer on the
and then Summer. Brenda, go ahead. I have Summer. I have you on, Summer. Go ahead,
and Benito.
And then Teresa before Benito.
Am I still able to talk on the issue of the or am I only supposed to be talking towards the motion?
I'm sorry, your question again. I'm sorry. Actually, it's for the motion.
Okay. So then I guess I'll leave my question to the side, which will go towards my comment towards the motion. So I'm looking through the number of attachments that I received as I was driving home trying to get on the call. So I don't have the luxury of being able to look at a computer screen to review all these documents. And there were things related to my station that I had questions about that were available for the open stream, and yet as a result of getting this so late, I only have one opportunity to ask questions on this. So I find that very concerning, not for the fact that regular reports should be created, but the fact that I get it so late that I'm unable to be able to review these documents. When before, Summer did submit a report where we did cover it 2 weeks later, and that was sufficient notice in order for me to review the documents, look over them, see every attachment, and unfortunately, I'm not able to do that right now because I got it so close to the actual meeting. That's it.
Thank you, Brenda. Summer?
Thank you. I do appreciate what board members are saying. I will point out that when I send reports a week or 2 weeks in advance, I get zero feedback from the board. I don't get any questions. I don't get any comments. I have yet to get questions or comments to virtually any board report I've submitted. The attached documents are not a series of bills because I've never sent a series of bills to this board. They are, in fact, things from the FCC, things from the CPB, because my word is somewhat regularly challenged by certain board members if I report and say X has occurred, and they say, can we see that in writing? So I attach the documents so that you can see for yourself what the tolling agreement looks like, what the license renewal looks like. The director's and officer's insurance was renewed in November, but there was a director who seemed to doubt that we still had insurance, so I've included it. I don't think I'm going to get a lot of feedback on 40 pages or whatever it is for our insurance policy. The CPB determination letter, is virtually identical to the ones that were submitted for the two prior quarters. It simply updates it for what's in this quarter. There are no action items in this report. There isn't a single thing I'm asking the board to do whatsoever. There's nothing for you to vote on here. These are filling you in with the fact that we have license renewals going on all over the network and what is happening with all of those items. I know that I've been asked specifically when the board is expected to take some action to vote on something to make sure that you have that sufficiently in advance of the meeting so that decisions can be made, so that people can come up with questions. But I have yet in any of these reports, I think there were 10 attachments to my, I had two December reports, but I think people didn't want to count the extensive legal update as a report, even though it was a written report that covered every single piece of, you know, every legal matter going on in the network.
Summer, your time is up.
Thank you. So I'm simply saying, yes, I feel some of this should be related to what's actually in front of the board and not a sense of outrage just to be outraged. Thank you.
Thank you, Summer. I have Teresa and then Benito.
All right. I hope we can vote on this so we can move it out. I agree that as a board member, I would like to have seen this report earlier, but I'm one of those people that tries to see the glass half full as rather than half empty. So, I mean, I thank very much our executive director, and it is executive director, not IED. I guess I'd like to know whether she has signed the contract, so maybe somebody can announce that. I'm looking forward to voting on this, just so we can move on.
Thank you. Benito?
Thank you. Well, I just want to say that I would like us to move on, too, as a matter of fact. But
thank you.
I would like to, let me say that in the same way that certain directors are asking certain other directors to control their level of outrage, I would remind us that, as Tony said, you know, this issue continues to come up over and over and over again, and so therefore it matters less whether or not this is the last or the first or the 20th or the 40th meeting of the board during the year. And so I would similarly request of certain board members that, just like some should control their outrage, others should control their rubber stamp.
Thank you, Benito. If there are no other discussions on this motion, I'd like to call the question on this motion.
After Benito. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, Serene? Is that Serene? I'm sorry, go ahead. And then I would like to call the question on this motion. So go ahead, Serene.
As the person who brought the motion, let me say this. This is an old story. This was the first problem. We waited at the February in-person meeting all weekend long for a report that we kept on being told was going to be, you know, in our boxes. We were going to get it shortly. Okay? So I recognize Summer's juggling a lot of things. However, we have a responsibility, and we can't move without information. And the fact that she may not desire to have us vote on a particular issue doesn't mean that we're not entitled to a report. Our first meeting of the month is always the fourth Thursday. We established that as earlier in the year. So that report needs to get there for that meeting. If we have a continuation meeting and there are no updates that she deems crucial, although there have been a number of things that I have deemed crucial that we don't hear about in anything resembling a timely manner, then, you know, she can do an update if she thinks it's crucial. But that one monthly meeting that Member Allen mentioned, report that Member Allen mentioned, should not come 13 minutes before the call. And to hear the same excuse now that I've been hearing for months, well, my predecessors didn't do
time.
It.
Time.
Previous, let me finish my thought, thanks. Previous EDs didn't do it. You know, that can't be the standard by which we operate.
Right.
It is an extremely low standard.
Time.
Your time is up, Serene. Thank you. So I'd like to call
this is Jessica. I'm on the call.
Can I give a point of information?
I'd like to call the question.
Heather.
Pardon me? Who's that?
A point of information.
Yes, who is that?
It's Summer. Based on what Serene just said, this is next week's report, because I think that would be our meeting for the month. I'm going to have to write, and Tracy's completely right, an entirely another thick report this weekend for the in-person meeting, and much of this will be in that report as well. And I remember just saying, please take a vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'd like to call the vote on this motion. Mr. Secretary.
Maybe there's no objection.
Yes, I will ask if there are any objections. Are there any objections to this motion?
Yes, there's an objection.
There is an objection. Okay, so Mr. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Okay, this is on Director Roberts' motion that the reports come out at least 24 hours prior to the meeting.
Yes.
Okay, Rosenberg?
I'm going to pass.
Pass. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Diaz?
Yes.
Yes. King?
Abstain.
Abstain. Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Stitt? Brazon?
Yes.
Yes. Crumshow?
Pass.
Pass. Medina?
Yes.
Yes. Reese, you're going to abstain?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Thanks. You're going to recuse yourself, whatever?
Yeah.
Abstain. Alan?
Alan says yes.
Yes. Polinar, did I hear that you're on the call?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and I also say yes.
You're doing what? Abstain?
No, sir. Yes, please.
She said yes.
Abstain.
No, she said
yes. No. It's a yes.
Yes, no, what? Okay, let's try this one more time.
She said yes.
Okay, let her vote, folks. Let her vote. I'm asking her. Okay, come on now.
Yes.
What is your vote? Thank you. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hitchell. Hitchell, are you there? Uzel, I'm going to abstain. Burden.
Sorry, I was off the call and I just got back on, so I'm going to, abstain. I don't even know the issue. Thank you.
Okay, you're abstaining. Coleman?
Pass.
Pass. Roberts?
Yes.
Yes. Saba, you on the call? Great, can you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you are? I thought I heard you on the call, someone. Yes. Okay. Ouch. Okay. Rosenberg, pass.
I'll join the abstain club.
You're going to what?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Micromom.
Who else passed? Crumshow?
I'll vote yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Abstain.
Abstain. It's 10-0-6.
So the motion passes. Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. All right, now we need to go back to the agenda.
Excuse me.
We need to go back to the agenda. Hold on, just a moment.
Well,
We're going to go back to the agenda. We do have one motion presented.
Excuse me.
Hold on, just one moment, Benito. By Board Member Wilkinson on the audit committee motion. And we have a motion presented by John Crumshaw about the meeting next week. We had left this discussion when we were going to a vote. My ruling as chair has been challenged. I would like to go back to that vote. And this was a challenge presented by Benito Diaz. And,
excuse me.
So, Mr. Secretary, I'm going to ask you to call the roll.
Excuse me.
Benito, wait. Don't do that.
Benito, we're going to go to a vote.
No, before we go to a vote, no, clarification.
Yeah.
Somebody would ask Janet to put her phone on mute, please.
Would everyone please put their phones on mute?
Janet didn't.
So we're going to a vote.
Excuse me.
Benito, if you have a comment, please make your comment, and then we're going to go to this vote. Yes, your comment, please.
Yeah.
Well, this is a whole lot more than
a
comment.
Is this a point of order, or what is it? What are you asking?
Can I speak?
Is it a point of order?
Is it a point of order? Is that
Can I speak?
Is it a point of order?
This is a point about what the agenda item that we have not yet finished.
Point of order,
exactly.
Teresa Allen. Point of order, Teresa Allen.
Yes, Teresa.
Excuse me. I am speaking before the point of order. Can I finish or can I start?
Benito, I need to know what it is you're referring to. Is this a point of order?
I'm referring to the fact that we are still, as far as I can understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're still on the director's, the IED's report.
No,
I'm sorry. We are finished with the IED report.
Well, how did we finish with the report? Who determines when we finish?
There were no more.
She asked.
Well, I have a question about to the IED.
And your question is what, Benito?
Well, we have an in-person meeting supposed to occur within approximately 2 weeks. It would seem proper to me that the board sees.
Go ahead, Benito.
Well, when somebody finished playing with the phone, it would seem proper to me that we finish. Well, I guess I'll have to go like the Occupy folks. It would seem to me that we would have to, or we should, receive some kind of report about what the status of preparations for the meeting. You know, all I know, I'm in D.C., and the only thing I know is that the meeting is supposed to occur somewhere in the D.C. area. I don't even know if it's in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, or who knows where. And I would like to know, can I finish?
Go ahead, please, go ahead. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. You know, someone raised earlier the issue of the agenda. I think we have the right to have some kind of input into the agenda. So I would like to know what the status are of the logistics, preparations, where the hotel, all that stuff. And I would like to know where we at with the agenda and when is the board going to get a chance to have some input.
Thank you for your question.
Because I don't want to see a repeat of what happened in Houston.
Thank you very much. That's not an item on the agenda right now.
Well, that's about the
idea.
I'm assuming that should be on the IED's report. And so I'm asking, whether it is or it ain't, I'm asking for Summer to be able to report on all this stuff.
Madam Chair, I have a point of order. This is Teresa.
Yes, your point of order is?
Okay. My point of order is that on behalf of everyone on the national board that is trying to conduct a meeting, I would like Benito Diaz to be censured. I'm basing this on the fact that earlier in this meeting, you asked him and he refused to be quiet repeatedly. And I don't know whether this is going to happen again, but I think it is a right of like the 16 people or however many people are on this phone that we take a vote on this right now.
I second that. I need just
point of personal privilege.
Oh. That's all right. We're going to send your Heather too.
Okay,
if
so
if you want to censor me later, you can. My blood pressure is just going out of the roof, and you know he has interrupted the chair, who is, you know, whether or not we agree with her, she is supposed to be conducting this meeting for all of us, and she should be respected. She's been interrupted. So this has
so there's been a motion to censure a board
point
member,
of personal privilege.
And who seconded? Manage seconded.
I object, Chair.
Therese. Point of personal privilege.
Point of order.
And I have a point of information.
Tony had a point of order.
Information here.
Okay, so hold on just a moment. We have something on the floor. There has been a motion to censure one of our board members, Benito Diaz. It's been seconded. It was presented by Teresa Allen, seconded by Monage Sava.
I have a point of order. Point of personal privilege.
Hold on. I have Tony. I have Benito has a point of personal privilege. I have Tony. And who else?
Brenda.
Carolyn. Serene, answer a point of information right after Benito
and
spoke.
Serene has a point of information. All right. Benito, go ahead.
Tony had a point of order.
Jessica, can you put me on stack, please?
And Jessica, yes, thank you. Tony, your point of order.
I don't think you can just make a motion to censor. You need due process and notice hearing. You can't just up and do a motion to censor. You have to set it down for another meeting on the Robert Rules of Order. You can't just out of the blue make a motion to censor. You have to notice it, and then it has to be a hearing on it. You can't just vote on it like that.
Thank you. I appreciate that input. Thank you.
Is that information point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yes, go ahead.
Let me ask you a question, Tony. Can I change this to say that I would just like it recorded in the minutes that he has repeatedly interrupted the chair and obstructed the meeting? Would that be better?
And
yes, you can note it as an objection in the minutes.
That's what I would like it done.
It will be reflected in the minutes. Thank you very much. All right, thank you.
Point of parliamentary inquiry. Are we saying that doesn't need to be voted on?
I think it has to be voted on.
So then I hope that we will let Benito make his statement, and then maybe we can vote on this.
And I second that.
Move on.
Teresa's amendment. That was
right,
my original.
You.
Okay, now this is what I'm going to do now. Benito wants to make a comment, and then I do have a stack. Benito, your comment, please.
Thank you. As I said earlier, if the chair and her supporters don't want anyone to interrupt the chair, then they should insist that the meetings be conducted in a fair and democratic manner. But if the chair, the secretary, the treasurer, the chair of the personnel committee, and all of their minions insist on a railroad, then some of us are not going to go willingly along with the railroad. And you can reference World War II. You can reference Martin Luther King, who we were supposed to have been celebrating three days ago, instead of the charade that occurred that evening.
Time.
So.
His time
that
is not quite
my, so if I'm timed out, that's cool, but add me to the stack.
Oh,
thank you. Okay, so I have Carolyn, Serene, and Jessica.
Brenda for the stack.
And Brenda.
Brenda was first.
Brenda, go ahead, and then Carolyn.
I'd like to get a response from the IED in regards to the in-person meeting. We are on the open stream. The public should know, as well as other board members who are currently on this board who are going to be reelected. And for folks who are listening to the stream who are going to be new members of the PMB. I mean, I'd like a
Brenda, thank you very much. I'm asking people to address the this censorship right now. So thank you for your comment. Any additional comments?
Sorry, Chair, that it was pointed
censorship.
Into the minutes.
So I have
we moved on from
Tareen
that discussion to my understanding, and that's why I'm raising that issue.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you. Carolyn, Serena, and Jessica.
I'm sorry.
Carolyn?
Chair,
yes,
I'm waiting for from summer.
Point of information.
Yes, Brenda, I will get back to this. Yes, we will have some comments about this before the end of the meeting. So, Carolyn, please.
Point
go
of
ahead.
Information.
Oh my God.
I have no more Benita right now. I'm going to take.
You don't control me, Heather. Neither does anybody else.
Carolyn, your comment, please.
Thank you. I think that anyone who listens to the stream would be happy to support this motion. To begin
Great.
The censure movement, and actually, the procedure is rather rigorous in Robert's rules. And if we do it correctly and give the member all due process, he will be removed from the board, which I think would improve our meetings tremendously.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Serene. Thank you, Carol. Serene.
Okay, thank you. If we're going to censure everyone who spoke out of turn, we can begin as recently as the member who brought the motion and who then proceeded after she'd made the motion and been seconded and without being recognized began again speaking to the motion. The fact is that what happened at the beginning of this meeting should be embarrassing, not just to the members of the board, but in particular to the officer who's conducting the meeting. Because, Heather, Robert's rules are very, very clear. You know, and I guess the question we have to ask ourselves is how much wrongdoing and, you know, bending of truth do we want to allow during any given PNB meeting?
Yeah, that's
John, to the deck, please.
Time.
Thank you, Serene. Jessica?
I believe, excuse me, I know that Teresa has taken over the time issue, but she's only giving people a minute instead of 90 seconds, and I believe the rule is 90 seconds.
Thank
you.
Yes, the rule is 90 seconds. Thank you. Jessica?
Okay, I won't have the privilege of serving for the next year that's coming in, and it is a privilege. I'm not really joking about that, but I won't miss the consistent arguing, and sometimes I know that we may not understand procedure, but the one thing I never thought of, I've been on the PMB before, and I've also had other arrangements, and I've never thought of the plans for the national meeting or the meeting in person as being sinister until it happened in Houston a couple years back, and I don't know what happened with our board where it all of a sudden became an adversarial situation. We show up once a month and all of a sudden pick each other apart. I don't know where that started, and I'm not going to continue to be part of it, unfortunately, but I know Teresa a lot of times is the only person I can kind of trust as far as when she throws up kind of these kinds of things. But on the other hand, Benito, I met him before he was on the board. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And I just, I get on the phone and I feel so much sorrow. There's no reason to pick anybody apart and to continue to call somebody IED. I wonder how mature or how grown I am to see that as a negative, because I don't know, maybe it's disrespectful. I was just talking to someone who I've been calling chef, and he's like, well, I'm not, you don't need to do that. Well, you know, people, they deserve some respect. They've gotten to this point in some way. And I've heard lots of meetings, and sometimes you need someone who's maybe not educated in Harvard. You need someone who knows how to handle
time.
Your time is up. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica.
Sure,
I have John. John?
You guys are all wrong.
Go ahead, John.
John Crumshaw?
Point of personal privilege.
John?
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry. I have John Crumshaw on
the
stack.
Is he
there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, John.
Andrew, can
you
hear me?
Go ahead,
okay.
Yes.
I was going to say that it is possible that somehow...
This is Jessica. I'm done.